Ready to find your next favorite podcast? Start here.
For you, what was it like emotionally for you to write this memoir?
It was tough, and I'm glad you brought that up. I think for me, the injuries and the setbacks, and that was something that I don't think I dealt with in real time.
And the baby, like, tilts her head up at me and looks at me and goes, "Wait, what's your name again?" And I was like, wow.
She crossed the color line with remarkable ease. It was unusual, I would say, for an African-American formerly enslaved woman to have the allies and the friends that she did.
On today's episode, get set to sample these three podcasts about race and diversity. Jemele Hill is Unbothered, Still Processing, and Urban Roots Season 2. Welcome to Start Here from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Tripp Eldridge. Each week, we sample and highlight three podcasts to help you navigate the exploding podcast world and maybe find your next podcast obsession. Plus, get an email summary of each podcast we feature with our weekly Start Here email blast. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here blast email at the bottom of the page. And if you like what you hear, please rate us an Apple Podcast. A 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. With special thanks to Cincinnati Public Radio's Ronnie Salerno and Kevin Reynolds, let's start here. Today, we sample three podcasts that talk about race, diversity, and its impact on our lives and world. And we begin with former ESPN chief correspondent and senior columnist and Emmy Award-winning journalist Jemele Hill and her podcast, Jemele Hill is Unbothered. Jemele Hill is Unbothered is an honest, thought-provoking, always entertaining analysis of American life discussed in real time as it unfolds. Each 60 to 75 minute episode of Jemele Hill is Unbothered delves into issues that matter, from athletes speaking out about race to Usher's new perm. Well, let's sample a recent episode of Jemele Hill is Unbothered. Former NBA superstar and current basketball analyst Grant Hill joins Jemele to discuss his new memoir, Game, and autobiography, which details his professional and personal journey.
As I learned from firsthand experience, writing a memoir is not easy. Mine is coming out later this year. And because you go back through moments, maybe some of which you buried a little bit, and it takes you through a bit of an emotional journey. So for you, what was it like emotionally for you to write this memoir?
It was tough, and I'm glad you brought that up. I think for me, the injuries and the setbacks, and that was something that I don't think I dealt with in real time. You know, I think as an athlete, you know, one thing I think I put in there, but, you know, Coach K used to always talk about next play. And when you play, whether you did something incredible or you messed up on the court, you know, move on to the next play. And part of it was staying present. You know, you stay present, you're able to perform, you can get in the zone, whatever the case may be. But I kind of lived my life that way. And what I mean by that is I didn't allow myself in a lot of ways to feel some of the incredible highs, but also some of the incredible lows. And in Detroit, in my early years, I had great individual success, but we weren't winning. So I didn't enjoy it. Like, I didn't celebrate the good moments. It was constantly chasing Isaiah, you know, or chasing the bad boys or chasing whatever. And so until I got there, I didn't allow myself to enjoy it and have fun and feel it.
From Jemele Hill is Unbothered. Listen for more of her podcasts at wvxu.org. Just click on the podcast menu and choose Start Here. Our next podcast on diversity features two culture writers for the New York Times, Wesley Morris and Jay Wortham, and their podcast, Still Processing. This longtime podcast brings together culture in the broadest sense, meaning television, film, books, and music, but also the culture of work and dating and the internet and how those all fit together. It's been nominated and won many awards. So let's give you a sample of Still Processing from the finale of their last season. Wesley and Jay Wortham talk about life away from New York during the pandemic and consider the question, did they lose years of memories because they weren't together with family and friends?
I've been thinking so much about friendships. I've never left New York for that much time, so it felt inevitable at some point that the day-to-day communication or the week-to-week communication, whatever it looked like, was going to break down. On my side, too, I knew I wanted to disappear. I wanted to take Michaela Cole's advice, and I wanted to not be afraid to disappear and see what would happen. And I have these two little nibblings in my life. These two toddlers.
Yes.
That I love so very much. And, you know, we would FaceTime and I could see that they were changing. I could see them acquiring more language and having more mobility. And just, I'm like, are they going to remember me? A fundamental part of childhood is that you forget things.
Yeah.
And I had to really reckon with how it would feel if I was a part of their past that they had been jettisoning, right? Like there was something about losing the years I spent feeding these children beans and rice, you know, holding them when they wouldn't stop crying, helping them get ready for bed, taking them to the park. Like if they forgot all those things, it would just feel like I had lost a fundamental part of my life too. But I had to accept that that was a possibility because that is human nature.
Yes.
So I knew reentry was going to be tough. But even though I was in this period of acclimation, I was like, I got to see these babies. So I roll up, and as I'm walking down the street, it's like my pulse is kind of racing. I can see them. And at this moment, the four-year-old looks up and sees me and just starts bouncing in her chair.
Yes!
And then the little one just starts running in that kind of Gumby kid way where their hands are flailing and their legs are flailing, and she just barrels into me. She's like, I missed you. And I'm like, I miss you too. And I scoop her up and I'm swinging her around. I'm like, all this emotion, all this energy. The baby's looking at me and she's like getting swept up and reaching up towards me and grabbing at me. And I'm just like, whoo, you know, trying to catch my breath. And the baby like tilts her head up at me and looks at me and goes, wait, what's your name again? And I was like, wow.
From the New York Times, that's Still Processing. Listen for more from the podcast menu at the Start Here Collections page at WVXU.org. In our local podcast spotlight today, we feature Cincinnatian and urban preservationist Deka Hussein Wetzel and her podcast partner, Vanessa Quirk, and the next season of their intriguing and deeply insightful podcast, Urban Roots. Urban Roots is a podcast that takes a deep dive into little-known stories from urban history and developed by the anti-racist community preservation organization Urbanist Media. Urban Roots challenges to think beyond the familiar and broaden the scope of what we see as urban history to conceptualize what shaped our communities. And in season two, Deka and Vanessa tell the remarkable story of Bridget Biddy Mason. Biddy was an African-American enslaved woman who, by the time she died in 1891, was not only the wealthiest woman west of the Mississippi, she was well known and loved as a healer, a philanthropist, and a hero of LA's Black community.
When we left Biddy last, she was recently emancipated, working for the famous Dr. Griffin as a nurse and midwife, and living with the Owens family in Los Angeles.
It wasn't entirely clear to her, I think, what freedom would mean. In Los Angeles. LA in 1856, it was basically a cow town. There is no downtown. There's just the Central Plaza and the homes and the businesses that abutted it.
That's Kevin Waite, the historian from Durham University who you may remember from our previous episode. Kevin told us that even with the offer of a home and a job, Biddy was pretty brave to stay in LA with her daughters.
There were just a couple of Black families. The city was overrun by young white men from the slave states. So it was not a hospitable place for a freed woman and her three African-American daughters to settle.
But Biddy had good friends, the Owens, for support.
As you might recall from our last episode, Biddy's daughter Ellen had met and fallen in love with Charles Owens in San Bernardino. Once they were married, the Mason-Owens families were officially joined.
While Ellen found love with the Owens, Biddy found friendship, as well as some business savvy. You see, Robert Owens was a well-respected businessman, and by living with him and talking with him over dinner and whatnot, Biddy learned quite a bit about investing in property.
Her employer, Dr. Griffin, was also an investor in real estate and a good friend of Benjamin Wilson, an early mogul of LA real estate.
Who knows how many conversations between these men that Biddy overheard or that she even took part in herself? I mean, it might seem unlikely that an African-American woman in the 1860s would have been having these kinds of conversations with white landowners. But then again, Biddy was no ordinary woman.
She had this uncanny ability to befriend almost everybody she came in contact with. She crossed the color line with remarkable ease. It was unusual, I would say, for an African-American formerly enslaved woman to have the allies and the friends that she did. Pio Pico, one of the wealthiest landholders in LA, and in fact the last Mexican governor of California, was one of her sort of allies and patrons. I've studied slavery for quite a while, and I can't think of too many other figures who were part of such a large, diverse, and unusual collection of people.
Our local podcast creators, Deka Hussein Wetzel and Vanessa Quirk, with Urban Roots. Learn more and listen more at the Start Here Collections page on WVXU.org. Just choose the podcast menu. Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more about other podcasts we like, check out the Start Here collection at WVXU.org. It's our new specially curated collection of podcasts we think you might enjoy. Plus, check out the local podcast collection, podcasts created right here in Cincinnati by our local creators. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@wvxu.org. I'm Trip Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.